This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:08. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn, and it's time for Pope Pope Parliament, where we take you through the ins and outs of the Day One Rakyat.
So we're starting with a question by Lemba Pantai MP Fahmi Fadzil on the appointment of a Secretary of Culture and a Creative Consultant for the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. And the MP asked whether the funds for these appointments could have been prioritised instead to help families who have been affected by the pandemic. And for context, Dr. Ahmad Idham Nasri was appointed as Secretary of Culture. You might know him as a local actor, more recently the former CEO of Finas. And fellow actor Datuk Sri Islan Yusof was appointed as Creative Consultant.
So Minister of Foreign Affairs, Datuk Saifuddin Abdullah, clarified that Dr. Ahmad took a pay cut when he resigned as FINA CEO to take the role of Secretary of Culture and that it was an act of national service. As for Datuk Seri Islan, he was apparently appointed as a creative consultant with no pay. Fahmi's response was that he found it hard to believe that such a role would come with no pay.
Sukar untuk kita percaya sekiranya perunding kreatif tidak mempunyai gaji, apakah bagaimana beliau ingin berfungsi. Tapi saya juga ingin bertanya, adakah term of reference bagi kedua-dua individu ini termasuk kerja-kerja politik, kehadiran Ahmad Idham di Melaka bersama-sama dengan Menteri, adakah ini sebahagian daripada tugas beliau walaupun difahamkan beliau adalah PTTK?
Well, the minister then said he can't prohibit them from attending political activities.
Ini terserah kepada budi bicara mereka. Jadi saya tidak boleh menghalang mereka sekiranya mereka ingin menghadiri aktiviti-aktiviti politik. Sama macam saya kata, susa politik, susa akhbar dan sebagainya.
So the Foreign Affairs Minister also said that while Malaysia doesn't have any formal cultural attachés, the ministry is making an effort to engage in cultural diplomacy in a more holistic way.
Kita hendak meningkatkan kerja-kerja diplomasi kebudayaan. Memang sudah ada. Pegawai MOTEC ada di beberapa buah negara. Namun, istilah attaché kebudayaan ini kita harus lihat kembali supaya tugasannya itu meliputi maksud kebudayaan yang luas dari falsafah kepada sejarah, kepada warisan, kepada pendidikan dan seni budaya. Dan seni budaya bukan hanya dengan izin performing arts tetapi keseluruhan maksud seni budaya itu. Saya bagi sebagai contoh, sebagai Menteri Luar, saya sering bertemu dengan diplomat asing terutamanya dari Amerika Utara dan Eropah yang fasih berbahasa Melayu Indonesia, bukan berbahasa Melayu Malaysia. Saya jangkakan yang mereka ini pergi ke Indonesia untuk belajar bahasa Melayu Indonesia. Tetapi rupa-rupanya dia belajar di negara mereka. Kerana Indonesia ada program bahasa Indonesia yang sudah dijalankan sebagai contohnya di 30 buah negara sehingga tahun lalu dan sehingga tahun 2024, mereka akan berada di 53 negara. Jadi istilah attaché kebudayaan yang termasuk makna bahasa, kesusasteraan, bagaimana kita menghubungkan penerbit-penerbit tempatan dengan penerbit-penerbit antarabangsa.
You just heard Foreign Affairs Minister Datuk Saifuddin Abdullah.
I think that's actually an interesting conversation to open up, really, a question of Malaysia perhaps taking a more structured look at what cultural diplomacy could look like. I mean, I know that at least here, a lot of the embassies and high commissions do have a cultural attaché. If it's something that we want to take more seriously to enhance our presence abroad, I would be interested to know what that might involve.
Yeah, I mean, I think that especially on the international stage, it would be nice to see Malaysia associated with our culture as opposed to perhaps the things that we are currently more famous, familiar, notorious, dare I say, for. And so the idea being that at least you would get to know the people and not so much just the people who have been making the negative headlines.
Let us know, would you like to see Malaysia engage more in cultural diplomacy? What forms of local culture would you like to see being promoted outside of the country? You can call 7732900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Now, moving on to a question about the number of unsold homes in the country. Here is Deputy Minister of Housing and Local Government, Datuk Sri Ismail Mutalib, with the latest figures.
Bagi suku ketiga tahun 2021, terdapat 30,290 unit rumah siap dibina tidak terjual yang bernilai 19.75 bilion. Manakala jenis dan negeri yang terlibat dengan jumlah pecahan rumah yang tidak terjual, saya sebutkan lebih kurang 10 ataupun yang tertinggi. Yang pertama ialah Kuala Lumpur sebanyak 3,863. Yang kedua, Pulau Pinang 4,638. Yang keempat, Selangor 3,376 unit. Yang kelima, Perak 2,865 unit. Mana Kelantan Yang Mohamad hanyalah 114 unit. Manakala jenis rumah yang tidak terjual ialah terdiri daripada kondo ataupun apartment sebanyak 18,229 unit, teres 2 tingkat dan 3 tingkat sebanyak 5,687 unit dan juga semidi sebanyak 1,783 unit.
That was Datuk Sri Ismail Mutalib. To recap, there are 30,290 unsold completed homes in the country worth 19.7 billion ringgit. Now, these are completed homes. If you include unsold homes that are still under construction, that number actually shoots up to 181,460 units.
Let's get more granular, because the minister also said that KL had the highest number of unsold units, and that's followed by Penang and Selangor. However, according to the National Property Information Centre, Johor actually has the highest number of unsold units. Now, he could have misquoted, but the facts are particularly relevant to something that you may have seen in the news, which is a YouTube channel called Top Luxury, recently ranking Forest City in Iskandar Puteri as the second most useless mega project in the world, which then forced the Tunku Mahkota of Johor, Tunku Ismail Sultan Ibrahim, to refute the claim, saying instead that the project has contributed 630 million ringgit in tax payments and dividends. And actually, if I'm remembering correctly, also saying that it comes down to the federal government having inconsistent support of the project and therefore contributing to the sales. Having said all that, it would also be interesting to know, when we're talking about unsold units in Johor, how many of them are actually located in Iskandar Puteri.
Now, on to the subject of employment for former convicts. Batu Gajah MP Sivakumar Vardaraju Naidu wanted to know how many people have been released from prison between 2011 and 2021 and whether they've been able to seek employment without facing discrimination. According to Deputy Minister of Home Affairs, Datuk Sri Dr. Ismail Mohamad Said, almost 2 million individuals have been released between that time, 2011 and 2021. And the government does have a few training programs in place, but for employment opportunities, the Deputy Minister mentioned a program called the Corporate Smart Internship.
Itu CSI, iaitu kerjasama dengan syarikat swasta bagi memberi peluang untuk orang diperol menyertai sektor pekerjaan, dan antara syarikat yang melibatkan CSI itu dengan jabatan penjara seperti syarikat Panasonic, syarikat Mami, Felda, Fekra, LKPP Corporation, dan juga syarikat swasta yang lain.
That was Deputy Minister of Home Affairs, Datuk Sri Dr. Ismail Mohamad Said. Finally, an acronym that's going to be translatable internationally, the CSI, the Corporate Smart Internship. I started when I heard that. Anyway, MP for Batu, P. Prabhakaran, called for Parliament to promote the use of batik in a related note that is produced by individuals within the prison system.
Kerajaan menggalakkan ahli-ahli Parlimen memakai baju batik ke Parlimen pada setiap hari Khamis Taniah. Untuk makluman Dewan Yang Mulia, penjara-penjara kita juga menghasilkan produk batik yang baik. Saya berharap industri pembuatan batik oleh banduan ini diperkasakan. Promosi dan pameran produk batik dari penjara harus dilakukan di Parlimen dan semua jabatan dan agensi-agensi kerajaan yang lain. Saya ingin tahu sama ada kita mempunyai agensi khusus untuk membantu mempromosi dan memasarkan produk-produk yang dihasilkan oleh bekas banduan untuk menyara hidup seperti produk batik, rotan, lukisan dan sebagainya.
That was Batu MPP Prabhakaran. We did check online and I believe we can purchase those batik products along with other things like songket and tenun directly from the prison department. So the website for that is tempahan.prison.gov.my. Let us know if you'd be keen or if you've ever purchased these products. You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Now briefly, Bandar Kuching MP Dr. Kelvin Yee brought up the recent approval of Sinovac for booster shots. Both Sinovac and AstraZeneca were approved after it became apparent that many people in the high-risk groups were actually reluctant to mix and match different types of vaccines. So Dr. Yee wanted to know when these would be available. However, the Deputy Health Minister, Dato' Aaron Agodagang, only confirmed that the Sinovac vaccines were approved last week, but not when they would be made available. And according to an article from the Galen Centre, those who wish to get Sinovac booster shots would have to pay for them at a private hospital, since only Pfizer is currently being offered for free under PIC.
So that's all for today's Popit Popit Parliament. As always, we'd love to hear from you. Let us know if you have thoughts on anything that we've discussed today. So we talked about cultural diplomacy. We also looked at unsold properties in the country, as well as supporting former inmates for job opportunities and really to combat the discrimination that they face when they go back into the workforce, as well as leads on where to get batik that's produced by prison inmates and having to pay for Sinovac booster shots. So if you have thoughts on any of those, you can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We will be back with more Popit Popit Parliament tomorrow, and we'll look at your messages after this. So keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.